Okay, we're going to go ahead and begin. Let's pray. Okay. Father, we just ask your blessing upon your word tonight, Lord. Anoint each one of us. Give us ears to hear and a willing heart to abide by your word, Lord, and what's taught, what your word teaches us. May your Holy Spirit open up our minds and our hearts to learn this evening for these few minutes that we have in Christ's name. Amen. What I want to do is talk about tonight, and I welcome participation, and thank y'all for coming together. It makes it a lot easier on me than all over the place and everything. What I want to talk about is in the form of a question, and is to provoke you to stop and think for a few minutes. What is true spirituality? Stop and think. Now, I realize there could be many answers to this, but stop and think for yourself. What is true spirituality? I want to give you one verse of scripture to kind of set it up here. In Romans, in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 2, true spirituality. In Romans 12th chapter, in verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age after fashion, after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed." That is changed by the entire renewing of your mind, by its ideas and by its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Now, some churches believe and some people think that spirituality or holiness, that you can be renewed in your mind and achieve holiness without any conscious effort. Is this true? No, it's not. Is there really a shortcut to spirituality? I like Ryan's expression, the whole. No, there's not. And I think all of you are seasoned enough in your Christian walk that you know and realize this by now. Being a Christian is not for sissies. There's no easy way. You know, it's a joyous life, but it's not, I wouldn't call it an easy life by any means. Because my subject's not this tonight, but one of the very hearts of our Christian life that I don't like, and I don't think any of you like, and it's that word suffering. You know? We grow by suffering. We grow in Christ by suffering. Jesus did. Why are you and I any better? So, can a believer receive a message or a divine jolt? Some people call it a zap. There's some other kind of quick way to, or a power boost. Some call it a power boost. To be instantly brought out of infancy as a babe in Christ to a spiritual person or maturity. No, not according to Scripture. This is not true. And those that do teach this, unfortunately, this divides people into two levels of believers, the haves and the have-nots. And, some people think that, well, I haven't got this, so I'm a second-class Christian. And there's no truth to that whatsoever. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 14, 15 and 16, it says, "But the natural non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit unto his heart the gifts and teaching and revelation of the Spirit of God, for they are a folly, meaningless nonsense to him that he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Wow. In this here we find countless people. They have no interest whatsoever in anything spiritual. They don't understand anything. One of the first things you hear, I read the Bible, but I don't understand none of it. Well, no wonder. You don't have the understander. That's the Holy Spirit. But he goes on in verse 15, he says, but the spiritual man tries all things. That is, he examines, investigates, inquires into questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial, judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. For who has known or understood the mind, that is, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so that as to beguile and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have, now listen to this, I love this part, but we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, that's the feelings and purposes of his heart. All Christians, folks, are spiritual. Now, let me repeat that. All Christians are spiritual positionally. Is our position. But not all are spiritual practically or in practicality. And this is what we mean is they don't always act spiritual. They forget their position that we have in Christ, but don't act spiritual. This point is the spirituality is not a permanent state you enter into the moment you get zapped or some kind of spiritual experience. Spirituality is simply this, folks. Receiving the living word, which is Christ, daily, and letting him indwell in you richly, then the living in obedience to its thought, a moment by moment walk in the Spirit. And this is what the Word of God tells us, that we're to walk in the Spirit. And this is a very important word in the New Testament. And walk here speaks of a moment-by-moment conduct. A moment-by-moment conduct. Paul taught the church to walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit. That's you and I. We're to walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians, in the 5th chapter, verse 25, it says, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. And when we know and understand this, this is true spirituality. And does it come overnight? That quick? No, Lisa, it doesn't, does it? No. It's a lifetime. A lifetime of God taking you and I and processing us. And then when he gets through processing us, guess what? Well, he may do that. But then when he gets done processing, it's finished. Well, then what?
We go home.
That's right, Gary. We're on our way. We're on our way home then. See, walking speaks of a measured pace, taking one step at a time. One step at a time. And this is how true spirituality actually functions. One step in one moment at a time. Every day. Every day. And this sometimes may be hard for us to realize and understand. But every day. Now, what are the marks of true spirituality? Well, I guess there could be a lot of them. I just want to look at a couple of them. And one of them is a deep awareness of sin. Deep awareness of sin in our life. If we go through the scriptures, and believe me, I got a lot of scripture, and we're not going to go through all this, but look at Paul and Peter and Isaiah. And you see, Paul struggled with sin. He said that he dies daily. Paul said that he was a chief of sinners. And Peter said, I am a sinful man. And Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. All these mighty men of God that God had used had a deep awareness of sin in their life, that they had to combat this sin. But the ultimate objective and mark of a spirituality or a spiritual person, and I really and truly believe that all of you know and understand this, because one of the reasons you're here tonight. You're here, you have a desire for the Word, you have a desire to want to learn the Word, but more than that, the ultimate objective of spirituality is to be like Christ. To be like Him. And the Word of God, and you can jot these down if you want to, in 1 Corinthians 11:1 and Galatians 2:20, when Paul said, it's not me that lives, but it's Christ that lives, and in Ephesians 4:13 and Philippians 1:21, that Paul was constantly reminding himself and others and the church that we're to walk and be like Christ. And that's our ultimate goal. And this is the only true way that we can win, and by consistently walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now, a lot of times we have terms in the scriptures, and churches will use terms, and we get these things, we don't understand these terms. And try to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us here with these things. So, one of the terms is being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another term it's used is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times these are used interchangeable, and this is not correct. This is not correct at all. The Bible gives us no command at all to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not there. Paul never said be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not there. But many times he told us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and Romans 8 and 9. It's very simple, folks, and it shouldn't be confused. All of us that have been born again have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because all baptism is being placed into. Another term we use is being pickled in. How many of you ladies ever pickle? Right? You take that cucumber and you put your vinegars and salts and stuff in there, and you drop it in there and you let it sit, and it gets pickled. It gets saturated by that liquid that's in there, right? Do you get the picture? You and I, when we accept Jesus Christ, we're pickled in Him. We're put into Him. He tells us that we're in Him and He's in us. And we sit there inside of Him and we get pickled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells us, this is all of us. He says, all have been placed into Christ. That we've all been baptized into Him. the scriptures is full of commands for us to how to live the Christian life. And in the Word of God, you and I, we get our marching orders. In Ephesians 4:1 and 5:8, Paul tells us, and you don't have to look them up, you can jot them down. Like I said, I got a lot of them, and our time is not very lengthy tonight. But Paul was continuously reminding us to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Never told us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not one. He tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what Paul is actually saying, I'm not changing scripture here, okay? Just give me a minute. It's not actually to be filled up, but to be thorough. Because we think of filling as taking a container and just filling it up with a cup of coffee. But this type of filling is just a little bit different. Is that you take that cup and you take that pitcher of coffee and you pour it in and just keep pouring it and it overflows. Being controlled and captivated by. Just keep pouring it and pouring it and pouring it. A little bit of difference. In the same way as we speak of being, you know, permeated and being fully influenced by the Holy Spirit. And it's like we could say we're being a person, the same type of meaning as we can say, well, that person is full of anger or is full of joy. This is what Paul was talking about by being filled with the Holy Spirit. We be permeated by, controlled and captivated continuously by the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul had in mind, that we are to be utterly controlled by the Holy Spirit. Filled in the scriptures of those who are totally controlled by emotions and influences by the Holy Spirit. And we see this very same thing in Acts in the 4th chapter in verse 31. You and I, this is a test of true spirituality, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to give you a little nugget. Listen real close. I'll tell you, I want to give you a little secret, a little nugget of how it can help you. I've tested, tried it, and proved it to be right. Okay? To be filled with the Spirit means to live every moment as if we were standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. Stop and think about that. This is true spirituality. This is true being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not some kind of yelling and squalling and running around and yibber-yabbing and all this kind of nonsense. No.
Submissive to the will of God.
Absolutely. It's all part of it. It's all part of it.
And you prove that by the way you look.
That we live every moment of our life as though that we're standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. This is what we call Christ consciousness.
I do that in the sense of whenever I speak, it's just the word that Jesus would say. Whenever I think, it's just what Jesus would think. If I do something, would Jesus do this?
And you know, people, let's be honest about this. This is not easy to do. It's not easy to do.
We live in a sinful world.
But we need to be conscious of this. And as we talked about a while ago, one step at a time, moment after moment throughout our entire life. And we'll find out today that we're acting as though we're in the presence of God a lot more than we were 10 years ago. I give you an example. I like to garden. I used to go out there, break my back, sweat, hoe, and plant, and come in, it's hot out there. Now I go out there, I walk around, look at it, I talk to it. Lord, thank you. Oh, man, this is coming up today. Thank you, Lord. Simple things, folks. Simple things. Lord, you're right here. This one over here is having a little struggle. We could use your help. I did all I could do. I poured water on it. We could use your help. Believe me, I was praying for this stuff. I forget what they call it. It's been so long. It comes out of the sky.
Yeah, rain.
Is that what they call it? That's right. That's right. Forget my memory as I get older. It's my worst enemy. I hadn't seen it in such a long time, but, you know, I've been praying for that stuff I used to see. And we get a little bit. I hope we get some more. But you see, this is the Christ consciousness in our lives. And how do we do this? Well, you know, when we're conscious of someone, and I'm going to use you married couples, at least I would hope, that if you're conscious of someone, you're going to communicate with them, aren't you? You're going to go through a life and never talk to your wife? Maybe you might hope she would never talk to you, but I mean, but if you're conscious of someone, you're going to communicate with them. And we know that communication is more than just talking to. I'm being a little facetious. Well, if we're living a life of Christ consciousness, are we going to communicate with Him? Shouldn't we be all the time?
Yep.
Just tonight, just coming down here, we were coming up, peace, coming to the light, and Debbie goes, oh my God, looked up, this pickup truck is out in the middle of the intersection doing one of these numbers.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't see it. I'm thinking about this, and I'm my eyes and head's up in the heaven somewhere. And we pulled up to the light. We pulled up, let him have the road. And I go, it was only a couple hundred yards between where we were at and where that happened. If we'd been sitting there waiting on the light to turn, guess what? We'd still be out there with ambulances and fire trucks and state troopers and tow trucks. You know, this consciousness of even little things. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. Help me. I crossed the highway. Oh, Lord, help me. Keep me safe as I cross the highway. And you see, the same is true in our communication as if we're Christ conscious. Here's something that will challenge you. Tell me if it works for you. The next week, or let's say until Sunday. Until Sunday night. When you get up in the morning, very simple. Good morning, Lord. This is your day. I just want you to keep reminding me all day that you're right here beside me. Amen. That's it. I challenge you. Between now and Sunday night. Yeah, it is. You think about it. Lord, this is your day. Keep reminding me. Because, listen, I'll forget. But Lord, keep reminding me all day long that you're right here. Not only right here, but you're living in me. It's even closer. You see, our hearts and our minds cannot be filled with the awareness of Christ and sinful thoughts at the same time. Okay? Got that? Lisa?
Could you repeat that prayer?
Yes, because it's important. Lord, this is your day, and I want you to keep reminding me all day that you're right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world sure has distractions all through the day.
You keep doing that. You keep doing that, and He'll remind you. Because our minds and our hearts cannot be filled with the awareness of Christ and sinful thoughts at the same time, folks. Jesus and sin do not occupy the same place at the same time. One has to go. You have sinful thoughts, the Holy Spirit's going to leave and gone. If you're thinking about Christ, those sinful thoughts are going to go. Lord, just keep reminding me, this is your day. Keep reminding me that you are right here all the time. Folks, this is true spirituality. Amen. True spirituality. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we are on time. I mean down to the second here. I didn't know if I could do it or not. Then I got to do it tomorrow night too.